Father, we ask this morning that you grant to us wisdom and revelation, knowledge of your Son, Jesus. Let us have a full and fuller grasp of salvation in your Son. That everyone will leave this place much more skillful in understanding, in walking in, and teaching others the knowledge of salvation through faith in Christ. We receive all this as we behold him, and he beholds us in him, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, so 2 Timothy 3, we'll be looking at salvation. Praise God. Amen. Maybe learning something about this? Let me see your hand. Learning something about this? Good. 2 Timothy 3 and 15. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. There's so much hunger for God's word in the earth today. I sense it. I traveled out to North of Nigeria to preach over the week and during the week. And you know, the kind of hunger, the kind of thirst for the word. And they said, sir, can you preach also this time? They gave me, they added more sessions. They said, can you have this? Can you come very early in the morning? People will come out to hear God's word. I'm saying 5 a.m. They come out to hear God's word and say, sir, can you have 30 more minutes? Can you have 30 more minutes? I said, I got to go to Lagos. I'm pastoring in Lagos. I don't live here. You know, so much hunger in God's word. And I sensed that it's all over the world. Praise God. And the word of God will fill the earth. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Yeah, it was nice to have people in question and answer session. They said, I was listening to you and I'm wondering, here? You listen to me? Yes, I listen to you. And you said this and said this and said this and said this. And they had a problem in their church. And they all sat down, have never met them before. And they sat there and they said that so-so and so was taught in so-so and so teaching of Saints Community Church. And that's how we're going to solve this problem. And they solved the problem by what we taught. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I tell you, that's happening in the nations of the world. Praise God. Just said that to say that. 2 Timothy 3:15. You still out there? Okay. It says, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise through faith, alright, which is in Christ Jesus. We looked at that term, remember last week? Through faith, which is where? In Christ. We looked at that last week. Now, notice this. It says you have known the holy scriptures. In other words, the word known there is something he practiced. Something he engaged. It's just like Jesus. You know, Jesus was just like this. Many of us assume that Jesus, you know, the Bible calls him the Word of God. John's Gospel 1:1, the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hebrews 4:12, he says the Word of God is quick and sharper than every two-edged sword, quick and alive. You know, that's a person. And then Revelation 19:13 says, his name shall be called the Word of God. Revelation 19:13. So we assume that because he's called the Word of God, he came to this earth full of scriptures. That I can say, Mommy, he was a Jehovah. You know, like he's just full of scriptures. That when he was crying, he's born in the manger. And that rather, when he was crying, he didn't cry like, he spoke in tongues. You know, like he didn't cry normally. Rather, cry just said, "Oh, I'm now born." You don't assume that he was like that. No, he wasn't. Jesus himself, pay attention now, was found studying the scriptures. Jesus was a man. I've explained this to you before. He was a man. That's God that became a man. But you say he was studying. He studied it. He didn't come to this earth doing it. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Luke's Gospel chapter 2. It's about him. Verse 40. Are you there? Are you there? Ensure you open there quickly. And the child grew, talking about Jesus, and wax strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. It says the child grew. Now, The word here is uxano in the Greek, A-U-X-A-N-O. It means to increase literally. Now you don't realize, increase in what? Increase in size or increase in age? No. He said he grew, Luke 2, verse 40. The child Jesus grew, uxano. He grew and waxed strong. Strong? How? He waxed strong. The word strong here, he's the word to be strengthened. So he actually increased literally. He was strengthened. Here's the word. You know, you have kraton for power, okay? So you have kratohu. That's K-R-A-T-A-O-O. K-R-A-T-A-O-O. It means, it's used for exercising strength over something, but to be strengthened. He was strengthened. Now the word in the spirit is not in the original, so I don't know why King James put it. But I guess King James tried to put in the spirit in there so that you will know that he's not talking about physical growth. Do you understand? Is that clear? But really, the word, the spirit is not in the original language. But it just shows anyway. It's not, you know, we cannot question that because that's nice because he's right. He's actually talking about growing spiritually. So Jesus also grew spiritually. He didn't come to this earth full in that context. He came and he was growing spiritually. Hallelujah. Now, if God became a man and then he had to grow spiritually, I think we have to take spiritual growth seriously. Hallelujah. You know, I was telling someone, I said, you can get healed by word from God. Like, take up your bed and walk. You are healed. You can get healed that way. But you see, you cannot grow by a word from God. You have to grow with the knowledge of all the scriptures. Is that okay? You get it? And that's what many folks, you know, whenever anybody's teaching for, and he's explaining the scriptures, they say, oh my God, just give me the rema there. The rema, the rema. I want to hear the ricoco of the matter. Just say something like, you cannot be stopped. You get it? Which is okay because we cannot be stopped. Praise God. But you see, you cannot grow. That cannot change your personality. That can change the situation temporarily, but that cannot change your personality. So Jesus here, he grew and he was strengthened. Praise God. How did he do this? Don't say, well, he just was in the house and then he was growing. Because for you assume that if somebody has been a Christian for long, he's growing spiritually. No, you can grow with knowledge of experiences. There are believers who have been saved for several years, and those several years were spent in junk. And sometimes they give you the greatest problem in the church. They're not here anyway. We don't have them here. But I'm just saying. Then there's, I've been a Christian for 32 years now. And, you know, from my experience, I know he would talk for long and he wouldn't even explain the word of God. Except from my experience. I told a fellow one time, I said, well, see, so I am so and so in Christ. Maybe I think he said about 20 something years now. I said, but glory to God. He's also called the Ancient of Days to shut your mouth up. Praise God. So that you can stop your counting your own days. He's only the ancient. So he's the one talking. So you keep quiet. Praise God. The man really felt offended. But I didn't care. So how did he do it? How did he do it? Well, how did Jesus grow? Was it that the Holy Spirit just grabbed the hold of him and he's strengthening him? Nope. Look at verse 46. His parents, they went out and they went to celebrate the Passover in 41. And they went up to Jerusalem. And look at what happened in 46. It came to pass that after 3 days, they were looking for him. And then they didn't find him. You know, watching EPL matches or playing a game. Though I won't mention any club. Feel safe. Alright. They didn't find him watching Star Wars. He's 12. He's 12 years old. And he wasn't in the children's church or teens ministry. So that's me. He said, why don't you have a teens ministry in Saints Community Church? You really don't know me, do you? You don't know me. If you know me, you know that I will do stuff like that. Teens ministry? What were you doing there? If you go to a children's church, have you been to a children's church? He could qualify as a Bible study or some churches. You think what we're doing there? What we're saying? I don't know what to say. Yeah. So what's this now? Praise the Lord. What was he doing? Verse 46. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Hallelujah. Why was he able to sit with them? Because he was growing. Hallelujah. So it's not your age that is the problem. It's the fact that you are not growing. Are you listening to me? It's not the age. It's the fact that you are growing. Remember my son said something, and then somebody, his friend in school, said to him that if someone puts a tattoo on his body, which is wrong, or could be wrong, he said, the fellow will go to hell. My son said, nope, you don't go to hell because of tattoo. You only go to hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. He said, only believing in Jesus Christ, all right, brings salvation. And he came home and told me, Daddy, that's what I said. I said, you're correct. So on his birthday, I put that out on Facebook and said, my son said this. Someone said, are you sure your son is saying the right doctrine? I said, see. So he's in my son growing spiritually more than he is. Praise God. You get my point. Amen. While some folks are still arguing with, he's speaking in tongues for believers and not believers at 8:30 something. My children speak in tongues. Praise God. Amen. They do. And you have kids in the children's church, they speak in tongues. They are not taught junk. Is it of God? Is it of the devil? They don't have time for that. They've already learned the word of God. Praise God. Do you get what I'm talking about? So, he's not his age that's the problem. He's around the doctors of the law. Who are the doctors of the law? He is questioning them. The word questioning here is to interrogate. It's used for research. Come on. He's like, Jesus could have comfortably organized a Bible school today. At 12. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When I started lecturing in the Bible school, I was a teenager. I'm in a lecture, and not one course, and I wasn't taking a children's ministry course. No. I was teaching hermeneutics. Are you here? Are you listening to me? You know, so he's there interrogating them. Doctors of the law. He's interrogating them. What kind of people are we talking about here? What kind of people? He said, doctors of the law. Who are these folks? Doctors of the law are referred to as actually the original teachers of the law. Didaskalos in the Greek. They are experts. Experts. Those who know the Old Testament very well. Experts. That is, they can quote from it. You see about Gamaliel, Acts 15, I think. Look at it, Acts 15. It's Acts 15 or 25. Acts 5, sorry, 34. Acts 5, 34 was spoken about a man, Gamaliel. A Pharisee, a doctor of the law, who in reputation among the people and commanded to put the post for the little space. This is the kind of people Jesus was with. Doctors of the law. Experts. Experts. He was with experts. He wasn't asking, they didn't give him caprisone. or they were playing Gospel Bunny or Spiritual Dora. No. He was. They were discussing the scriptures. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? He was interrogating them. He was asking questions. Please follow this. He was asking questions. Doctors of the law. Are you still there? Those who interpreted the law. So, what was he doing? Look, so he was interrogating them. He was asking them questions. Ah, I know. They just looked at him. It's just like when they told Saul that somebody was going to beat Goliath, and he was in a. Now, don't know how. Don't ask me how I got to know this very well. You know what? You don't know. Saul was sitting like this on the throne. He's saying, "Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I give you praise. I give you praise." Then he said. Then the messenger came. He said, "Where is he? Where is he?" He said, "He's here. Where?" He said, "He's around." No, because Saul is a very tall fellow. Where? He looked at his servant like, "Are you okay?" He said, "Son, how are you?" He said, "Well, I was keeping my father's sheep, and the lion king, and a bear king, teddy bear. Are you serious about this?" He's already meditating that, well, if I send this boy out, how am I going to cancel his father? You know, so you can imagine Jesus in the midst of doctors of the law, 12, and they're looking at him, and the kind of things he's saying. He's quoting the word. He's, and look at this. He said, both hearing and asking them questions. So number one, he was listening. That word akou in the Greek means he was giving heed. You know, you can be doing something, and then I say, "Oh, okay, repeat that again." You said what? That means you are not listening. You are hearing it, but you are not paying attention. That's what I said. Take that again. I didn't get that well. He was actually fixated on what they were saying at 12. That means at that age he had controlled his attention. There are some of you. You've been taught like this. Your mind is somewhere. Where's your mind? I'm supposed to check somebody by one. That's why you are struggling with spiritual growth. By one. Look at this. The Bible says, and all that heard him, what happened? They were astonished at his understanding. Answers. The word understanding there means the way he put the facts together. Sunesis. S-U-N-E-S-I-S. That means he had a whole view. When the soonest reasoning is total. That is, he had a total understanding of the Holy Scriptures. At 12. Jesus will not come to a service. He will come to a service and won't have notes to write. No, he won't. He will come without a Bible. He won't do that. He was an hardened student of the scriptures. So don't think that when he saw the devil, and then the devil quoted a verse, and he said, said something, and said, "It is written that the Holy Spirit just gave him a rhema." So Holy Spirit, is that there? Is there? Where is it? No, it was something he knew. Praise God. Are you following this? It was something he knew. So, he was a... He had understanding at that age. The kind of answers. The word answers, the responses he gave. I like that word answers. So it's a word used for reply. That someone who has scholastic, is used for someone who has scholastic knowledge. 4 times in the Bible is used. Scholastic knowledge. You know, when you have a, have you ever tried to ask a lecturer a question? Then you say, "Sir, what about this case?" Now, if some lazy lecturer say, go and check the handouts. You know, we had a very fun lecturer back then. He would come and say, read up. We used to call him read up. Read up. Read up. Read up. You just be like, so sometimes I just say, what did he, if you didn't answer the class, what did he tell us to read up? You know, he's not a lazy man. But there's some. There's a man, the man made me, you know, he made me like so evidence so well. Because I like the way he mastered it. If you ask him a question, the way he will answer. And he will quote from the Evidence Act. He will quote it copiously. And he made me like it. I said, I will know this Evidence Act. So one day I just sat and I said, I'm going to read everything. You know, that's the kind of reply Jesus gave. An expert reply. They ask him, what about this case? Jesus will just speak like a doctor of the law. I said, what happened? You forget. The man was growing. Hallelujah. He was growing in wisdom. Wisdom means knowledge, insight, Sophia in the Greek. He was growing in knowledge. He was increasing literally. Are you still out there? Are you still out there? So he grew. In verse 52, the Bible says, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He increased. So look at chapter 4. In chapter 4, are you following this? In chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible records. But before we get to verse 32, look at verse 16. The Bible says, Jesus, he came to Mount Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. The word custom is his habit, etho in the Greek, E-T-H-O, his habit. Something he got used to. A habit. We find in Acts 17 too. He got used to. It's a habit he had. Luke 4, 16. You see the synonym of the same word. Acts 17 verse 2. About something you get used to. Matthew 27, 15 you see there. And Mark 10, 1. A custom. Something that has become a lifestyle. Something you do always. So Jesus was used to reading the word. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying? Don't forget, this is God that became a man. He was used, he was accustomed to it. He's not looking for the Bible when there's a problem. Say, hey, I have a problem. Please give me a verse. I need a verse now. A verse. Just any verse. Any verse. Get it. He had a custom to do what? Verse 16. The Bible says he stood up for to read. Praise God. He had a custom. I said, praise God. So in verse 32, they were astonished again at his teaching. For his word was with power. At his doctrine. They were astonished at how he taught. Now, how did he know what he thought? By studying it. By a habit of study. So Jesus was not a local champion. He was well tutored in the scriptures. Well tutored in the scriptures. Look at it again. They were astonished at his teaching. Because that's how he was. He understood and could interpret the scriptures. In Luke 5:17, the Bible says, it came to pass, again, Luke 5:17, just the next chapter. On the seventh day, as he was what? I wait for it. As he was what? Luke 5:17. As he was what? Teaching. Who were there? And who else? Experts. So he was not a local champion. Hallelujah. Some people, they are just champions in their family. Because those ones are not growing at all. But they are stunted growth. Some, they are just champions. Maybe around people who are ignorant. But Jesus had experts. They will sit down. And then he's explaining. And then they'll say, it's true. true. It's right there. Praise the Lord. I say it like this. There's no denomination that I have not taught. Major denomination I have not taught in this country. There's none. I have not preached. There's none. Different beliefs. But you know, the thing is this. Every time I'm speaking, they check it in the Bible. It's there. So they're looking. One of them came to me, 1997. He said, I know what you're saying is in the Bible, but you tone it down a bit. You are too strong. It's too strong. But it's there. Alright? So you see, he wasn't a local champion. He had doctors of the law. And that's how we train you in Saints Community Church. Anywhere you get to, you can hold your own. Hallelujah. That's why we don't do, we are not specialists here. Some people say all they teach is prosperity. Some, if you want to learn about marriage, there's some churches, just go there. Romance. They say Boaz. Where is your Boaz? They know that area very well. Say Boaz, who is your Boaz? Have you seen your Boaz? So no, me, I've seen my Joseph. Because that's a glory to God. But you see, we send you here to be an expert in the word. Praise God. If they ask you a question, he wrote me. He said, grateful for what your churches do. He said, I had a problem. I couldn't, this is a pastor of a group of churches. He said, I had a problem and in about Melchizedek. Then he said, and then I told a friend, he said, you need to get through the so church in person. He said, oh, I have a niece who attends the church. I'm sure she can explain it to you. So they got her on Facebook. It was a Melchizedek. He said, in just about 8 lines, she solved the problem he had theologically for over 20 years. 8 lines of Melchizedek. He said, I never knew he was a man. I said, well, we know here. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Someone said, are you boasting? Exactly. That's exactly what I'm doing. You didn't get that, did you? Alright. So you're not trained to be local champions. The same with Jesus. Jesus was with the doctors of the law. And he held his own. Don't say, well, I was around some people. Thank God I'm a Pentecostal. Those people, this is what they were saying. People have different beliefs. So did you answer about, No, I just let them. I just say, God will pray for them. God will. You are a disgrace. You'll be able to explain this. It's because you didn't read it. If you study the word of God, you will speak from it. Isn't that true? Is that not true? Do you feel cool when a lawyer is talking about, you're a medical doctor, and a lawyer is trying to explain disease. You just smile. You know, because it's your area. You just smile as they come, yeah, let me tell you. If that's if you're a studious doctor. I was in class one day in the school, in the lecturer. I like lecturers so well, you know, and she's teaching human rights, actually women's rights, my final year. And so she's talking about women in the Bible. I was dozing in that class, I confess my sins. I was dozing. But I had, Bible says, I just woke up. I don't know why, I just woke up. Oh, you want to say Bible? We don't say Bible. She now started saying things about God, being discriminatory. I said, I just raised my hand. I'd never raised my hand before. So, hey, what's the problem? I said, you are wrong. So some people go, look back. Oh, this guy. he don't take this guy on. So I said, can I go on? Yeah. So I began to quote. And I was quoting. So, I get your point. You have to get my point. So I sat and I slept back. You get that? Because you see, it's something you should be confident about. So I was at the airport one time, and then they said, you're coming to America for 4 days? The guy said, it's a problem. He said, go to the security. I just went. So who are you? What do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. You're a pastor? Security man. Found. Can you quote the Bible? I said, which one? He now says Psalm 91. I said, which version do you want? Which of the versions you like? So I said, this one. Okay, go. Preach it, brother. Preach it. Brother. Just take it back. Some believers say, give me my memory verse. Are you still there? All right. So you need to. That's Christianity. Praise God. Are you getting what I'm talking about? That's Christianity. So you don't be a local champion. That's why Jesus was called rabbi, even though he was not under any Pharisee. He was called a rabbi. Nicodemus called him rabbi in John 3:2. Rabbi means a respected teacher. Actually stronger than that. An honorable teacher. Somebody that is taken in high esteem. Now, how did he become a respected teacher? They had heard him teach. They had seen him over time. They had heard him. They knew he understood the scriptures. Just don't forget, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. So, he got that. That was, they agreed among them, this guy is a rabbi. He can teach. Hallelujah. Now, how did he come to that point? He was accustomed to reading the scriptures, to studying, to listening to it. You cannot grow without these basic things. They are elementary things. You must hear the word. You must read it. You must also preach it. In fact, the more you explain the scriptures, the more understanding you get. Praise the Lord. So, when he said, you are from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Do you get what he's talking about now? Huh? From a child, talking to Timothy, you have known the Scriptures. Go back there, 2 Timothy 3. Now, from a child, thou hast known the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, the Holy Scriptures, unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He says, salvation through faith, which is in Christ. In other words, the salvation is in Christ. It is received by faith. So it will be salvation. See, so like it means the salvation is in Christ. So I want to look at that quickly now. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 21, quickly go there. Is what the angel said. And you will call, or you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save. Now, we've studied that before. I'm just going to go over it again. The word shall save is from sozo. Remember sozo? Sozo means to prevent from what? Danger or punishment. So, put that together. He shall. He says he will save, which is the word sozo. Sozo means what? Prevent from danger or punishment. So, let's put that together. He shall save, or what? He shall prevent his people from danger of sins, or from the punishment for sins. In John 1:29, John the Baptist, he says, behold, who is a prophet, don't forget, behold, the Lamb of God that what? Takes away, praise God, that takes away the sin of the whole world. He takes away. Praise God. So, that's the word prevent. So, what does he take away really? People still sin. Believers still sin. So, what does he take away really? He takes away the punishment. Do you get it? The punishment. Do you get that? Come on, guys. You follow this? He takes away what? The punishment for sins. Or takes away the judgment for sins. We've seen that before now. Now, look at this. Now, the key elements I want us to see this morning, and this is key, this is very vital. In other words, if he is the one who took it away, and that's something many people need to realize. I told you last Sunday, salvation is not just about your decision. People think it's about, oh, I came out. Well, yes, you came to receive. But your receiving didn't save you. The salvation is in a person. He shall. So salvation is his walk. What you did by faith is to receive his walk. Okay, let me say it like this. That means he is called Savior because it's an office. It's a function. Go to 1 Timothy 4:10. Are you following this? 1 Timothy 4:10. That's why a whole lot, you see, every time you see a legalistic preacher, pay attention to this. Every time you see a legalistic preacher, let me tell you one of the characteristics of a legalistic preacher. Is that he will talk more about men than about Jesus. He will place his attention on you. Every time. Ah, brethren, are you? Don't take things that. Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. He will place the attention on you. You hear people say, believe in yourself. But really, the gospel really is that God believes in you. That's what the gospel is. God believes in you. God believed first in you. If God doesn't believe in you, he won't become a man to die for you. So that's very fundamental. So look at 1 Timothy 4:10. Still out there? Therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Notice the word Savior. The word Savior is the Greek word Soter. S-O-T-R. You know, soteria is salvation, or soteria. So, Soter is taken from sozo. Sozo. Soter. Now, this is very, very, very key. I want you to notice this. I'm going to go to some very, very detailed explanation. You here? Are you here? So, the word sozo or sota is from sozo. All right? So, while sozo is the action, sota is the actor. Do you get that? For every action, there must be an actor. This house was built by so and so person. You get it? So, there's an action and there's an actor. So, you say Psalter 24 times in New Testament Greek. The New Testament Greek, you know, I'm talking about Matthew down to Revelation. Now, you find it used all through. Pay attention to this. Jesus never used this term for himself. He never did. Now, Luke's Gospel 1:47. This is Elizabeth. No, Mary, sorry. My spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior. God, my Soter. God, my Savior. The angel in Luke 2:11. Now look at the contrast. Not contrast, but, you know, comparison. Luke 1:47. My spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior. At this point, Mary, okay, was already, the Holy Ghost had overshadowed her, and she had the Christ in her. She said, my spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior. Luke 2:11. The angel is speaking now. Unto you is born this day, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. So those two statements let us know, or confirms again the deity, deity on Christ. Okay? My Savior. And he's talking about the same things. Also, in John 4:42, Jesus goes to the Samaritans. So he wasn't the first, Philip wasn't the first person to go. John 4:42, he said unto the woman, now we believe. Those are the folks who Jesus preached unto. Not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Soter of the world, the Savior of the world. Soter. Mark the word Savior of the world, because it's vital coming today. Acts 5, Acts 5:31. That's in the book of Acts. Him, that's Jesus now, hath God exalted with his right hand to be the prince, or a prince, that's the word ruler, and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Mark that. Acts 13:22-23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So, when you say Savior, you're saying the one who carries out the act. So, being a Savior for Jesus is an office. Is an office. Is a Savior. Now, what this now? In Ephesians 5, so we have read, Savior of the world, right? Was read, are you here? Are you following? Savior of Israel, we've read the two, right? Savior of all men, right? Okay, now look at Ephesians 5. In verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. So mark that, the body is the church. He's a Savior, specific, of the body. Now, Savior is what again? Savior is from sozo. Sozo means to prevent from danger of sins. So, he is the one who carries that out. Is his function. He prevents from the danger of sin. Philippians 3:21, talking about Jesus. I'll start from 20, actually, not 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is talking about resurrection of the body. So, he's called Savior there. Then again, 1 Timothy 1:1. Watch this. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. 1 Timothy 2:3. Who will have all men to be saved? 2:3, sorry. This is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Our Savior. And he's referring to Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:3. How do we know? 1 Timothy 4:10. We trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So, he interchangeably says, God our Savior, then Jesus Christ. Okay? In other words, he is using one and the same to refer to Jesus. He confirms the deity of Christ. Are you listening? Is that clear to you? Come on, is that clear to you? Oh, good. 2 Timothy 1:10. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, who is that? I'll wait for you. 2 Timothy 1:10. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Still out there? Titus 1:3. Notice the term Savior used for Jesus in the epistles is present tense. Are you listening? Are you listening now? Come on, guys, are you listening? Titus 1:3. But as in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Titus 1:3. Look at 4. Let's take 4 together. So Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, verse 3 says, God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. What does it say? Okay, very good. Titus 2:10. Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Titus 2:10. Titus 2:13. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One and the same. Titus 2:13. Titus 3:4. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward all men appear. Titus 3:4. Titus 3:6. Which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Are you still there? So you can see that he is confirming over and over again the deity of Jesus. Is that clear? Is that very clear to you? Is that very clear to you? Okay. And he calls him our Savior. Okay? Because the Savior is God. And the God that became a man. So, again, 10 times in the pastoral letters, as we have seen, he is called Savior. Look at Peter again. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Same thing. 2 Peter 1:11. Unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:20. The knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:20. 2 Peter 3:2. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. 2 Peter 3:2. 2 Peter 3:15. Growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, 2 Peter 3:18, Jesus Christ. So, he is called Savior, present tense. 1 John 4:14. So in referring to him as Savior, have you observed that in the pastoral letters, Paul reconfirmed in his writings the deity of Jesus? It was very emphatic. Right? And also Peter's writings. You'll see why. Now, come on, look at this again. 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son, the Savior of the world. He sent the Son, the Savior of the world. Then Jude 25. The only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion ever, both now and ever. Amen. So, there are two words that I want you to observe there. We're found him being called our Savior, right? Right? And then Savior of the world. Is that clear? Two things. Our Savior and then Savior of the world. And this has led some folks to say things like, well, that it simply means that everybody is saved. Everybody is saved because he's called the Savior of the world. Don't forget, sozo is who, a person who prevents from the punishment of sin. It took the sins of the whole world away. Are you listening? Are you listening? Now, let me refresh your memory a little bit. When we started this teaching, this particular series, I gave you an introduction. And we talked about sins, remember? Remember? And we said, there's a sin that cannot be forgiven. Why? It simply means that Jesus did not pay a price for it. Is it clear? Can you remember that? Who can remember that? You were around. Well, we looked at different sins. Can you remember? All right. If you can remember, then you should have been in church. Now, look at how Paul explains it. First Timothy 4, verse 10. Who is the Savior of all men? Who is the Savior of all men? The word Savior was used for princes in pre-Christ time, that before Jesus came, when that word was used, the word sota was used for those who conquer territories and now protect their terrains. You know, a king of those days will protect the land. If he loses part of the land, it's like he's losing his authority. So his authority is based on how he can protect his territory. So that's where they got the word sozo from. So the word sozo means to protect. To protect from harm. To protect from evil. To protect from danger. Sota is the person who does that. It was used before Jesus for kings. Those who rule territories. Now notice how Paul says it. He's a Savior of all men. Now we can say, well, he protects all men from evil. He protects all men from the danger of sins. And Paul says, especially. Now the way we use especially is, I want you all to come to my house. Especially your children. So I'm saying, you should all come. But see, I'm particular about your kids coming with you. So we can say, well, especially that. What he's saying is that yes, the Christians are also there, but it's the whole world. Now that's how you will interpret that in your everyday language. But that's not what he was saying. Let's see. Now, oftentimes when you see a word like that, you see, you look at number one, the original meaning, then you look at it, where it was used. Look at where it was used. Acts 20, 38. Acts 20, 38. Now, let me ask a question. Which one was more, our Savior or Savior of the world? The one we read through. You are not paying attention? Huh? Alright. Did you find a percentage? I have it here, but I won't give you. Go and find out the percentage. And then I'll show you something again next week on that. Now look at this. Acts 20. 38. This is when Paul was leaving Ephesus. And then verse 37 says, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. And sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that he should not see, they shouldn't see his face no more, and they company with him. Not that word, most of all for the words. That's the word especially. Most of all. Now, just pay attention. Most of all will be what? That means they sorrowed about everything. But more importantly, what else could they have been sorrowing for? The reason why they were crying was because they would not see his face anymore. Now, hold it somewhere. We're coming here. Just hold it. Because it's old English. 25, 26, Acts. Of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him before you. Watch this. Please watch this. Same word. I brought it before you. Especially before thee. He's talking about the same persons. Are you listening? Are you listening? You read that. Read it again. I brought him before you. Especially before you came. Now, two different people? Nope. If you change that word to specifically or emphatically, would that be right? Huh?
Huh? So go back to Acts 20:38. Why did they cry? Specifically because. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Alright, wait. Look at Galatians 6:10. Do good to all men. Galatians 6:10. Especially unto them which are of the household of God or household of faith. Especially? No. Specifically. Are you there? Specifically. Then I am referring to, right? I am referring to those of the household of faith. Philippians 4:22. All the saints salute you. All the saints, specifically they that are of Caesar's household. Because all the saints cannot salute him. There are things that Paul doesn't know. Are you following what I'm saying? There are Christians he doesn't know of. But he says, I'm referring to who? Huh? The saints where? Huh? So when he says, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, I'm referring to those that believe. Let me see how that makes sense to you. Does that make sense to you? Let me see how that makes sense to you. Especially those that believe. So, he functions in an office today of those who believe. Especially, let's see another place. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Can there be an elder who does not teach? Huh? So, specifically, that I'm referring to those who what? Teach. You know that? Treat every elder specially, but you know, this one, teach this one very specially. No. Especially. One more. Look at, 1 Timothy 5:8. If any provide not for his own, especially for his own house, where else will he have been? Huh? I'm referring to his own house. Specifically his own house. So the word especially deals with specific. I am specifying this. Look at 2 Timothy 4:13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpos, when you come, bring with you, and the books, especially the parchments. Or, specifically, what? The parchments. Is it clear? Is it clear to you? Alright. So, Jesus Christ is a Savior. Look at one more. Titus 1:10. Same word. There are many vain, many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Specifically, they of the circumcision. That's the word. Philemon 16. Now, not now as a servant, but above all, above a servant, a brother beloved specifically to me. That is, beloved specifically, Paul says, I'm referring to myself. So when the word especially is used, I'm referring to. That is, bring the books, I'm referring to the parchments. Do good to all men, I'm referring to those of the household of faith. Does it make sense? Does it make sense to you? Huh? We were crying specifically that we're referring to the fact that he won't see him anymore. Paul. So Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. We're referring to those who believe. Let me see how that's clear to you. Come on. Is that fine? Good. So look at the one more. Second Peter 2:10. But chiefly, now it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to preserve the unjust of the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, that is specifically them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. So, Paul wasn't referring to the whole world, including those who don't believe the gospel. He said, Jesus Christ, he's the Savior of the whole world. Alright? Sota, I am referring to them that believe. So, that means to us, Jesus has an office. He has a function. Sota is used for an office. Remember I said that? Remember that? So, Sota is not just somebody who does it at his own pleasure. Sota, I told you, it was used before Jesus came. It's used for kings and princes. That is an office. They expect a sota to lead them to war. It's his office. They expect a sota. They expect him to... There's an enemy coming to the territory. They expect a sota to be in front. That's why he is made the prince. So, Jesus is in the body of Christ. We are the body. He is the sota of the body. That is, he prevents the body from what? The danger of sin. He presents the body from punishment and destruction. Romans 12:4. Romans 12:4. Are you listening? Are you listening? Romans 12:4. But as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. The word there is function. Now, when you read the word body of Christ or the body of Christ, notice this and, you know, mark this is very vital for those who are particular in Bible study. The word body of Christ is not used for the church in the four Gospels. Not once. Is not used at all in the book of Acts. Is not used by any of the apostolic writers. Only Paul uses that word. Only Paul. Only Paul did. Peter didn't use it. James did not use it. John didn't use it, definitely. Jude didn't use it. Are you following? Are you following this? Oh, good. Now, what does that word body of Christ mean? Now, it's used primarily for function. Function. What that is, the word is used for functional things. Function. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says we've all been baptized into one body. Alright? And be made to drink into one spirit. Then it begins to talk about members of the body. In other words, functional parts. Now, Jesus is the head. That means he has a present function. Are you following what I'm saying? So the word body relates primarily with function. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, you find places also where it wasn't used, you know, in that light, but it's more used for function. Ephesians 2:16, for example, it said he has brought all into one body in Christ. Ephesians 2:16. But look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, Christ. Notice that. May grow up in all things. Which is the head? Christ is the head. What did we read earlier? He said Christ is the head of the church. The husband is the head of the wife. And he is the savior of the body. So he calls head what? The savior. Right? Are you listening to what I'm saying? He calls him the savior. The authority over the body. He's a savior of the body. Now watch this again. He says, which is the head, even Christ. Let's say 16 together. Let's say 16 together. Let's go, everybody. Let's go. From, everybody, Ephesians 4:16. Let's go. Let's go. From whom the whole body. Let's go again. And compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual walking in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. So, the word function is important there. Why? Ephesians 4:12. Ephesians 4:12 says, watch this. Ephesians 4:12 says, he gave apostles, verse 11, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting of the saints is not maturity, even though it includes maturity. The word perfecting of the saints is katatismo in the Greek. It means to fit parts. To put parts together to work. To put parts together to work. Again, referring to the physical body, or better still, the body of Christ. So whenever you see the word body, it leans more to ministry. So go back to Ephesians 5, to ministry. That is, there's a ministry in every part. So Jesus Christ has a ministry. Are you listening to this? Are you following this? Jesus today, he has a ministry. Don't forget we said the word sota is a function. A functional practice. Sota is not an award. Like, oh, you know, we can give some people an award. And then after you have run a race or done a degree, then they give you, and you've satisfied so-so and so-and so-and-so, and then they feel it. And then they give you the degree certificate. That's for work done. Right? Are you following what I'm saying? There you now go to There you now go to apply for a job. And then they give you appointment letter. And say, you are now a graduate trainee of social company. You don't take it, say, thank you very much. And then you go home. And put it there. And I say, done. Then you apply for another job somewhere. They give you an appointment letter. They put it there. No, they expect you to resume work. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a functional thing. So, sota is a work. It's functional. Jesus, just like we just said now, He rose from the dead, then he became the savior of them that believe. It's an office. Somebody listen to this. Alright. Verse 27. Ephesians 5. That he might, watch this. He gave himself for it, verse 25. That he might sanctify and cleanse it, that is his body, with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy without blemish. He does that himself. Right? Are you following this? He does that himself. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes his flesh, even as the Lord the church. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Praise God. Are you there? So, the believer, alright? The believer, he's in the body of Christ. And Jesus Christ is his Savior. Say, Jesus Christ. See that meaning? Say, Jesus Christ, he is my Savior. Now, that means the word Savior, don't forget, is an office. So, I didn't get born again to now depend on myself. I put my eternity in the hand of a sota. You get it? The sota is now in charge. Remember what he said in John 10. He said, I give to them eternal life. Remember that? John 10:28. That they can never perish. He said, no one can snatch them out of my hands. Do you get it? Because he is a soldier. No one can snatch them out of my hands. He is a savior. Not of the whole world. Because the whole world doesn't have eternal life. To those that who believe. That believe. He said, no one can snatch them out of my hands. Remember one guy was trying to, he said, I don't believe in this teaching on eternal salvation. Or eternal security. Or let some say, once saved, forever saved. Whatever name you call it. I said, do you believe in the words of Jesus? Yeah. So what did Jesus say here? What did Jesus say here? I can see. What did Jesus say? I didn't say, what did you see? What did he say? Eternal life, yes. And it can never perish. That's not just what he said. He told you why they can never perish. He said, no one can snatch them out of my hands. Hallelujah. He said, but if you say this kind of thing, this will make people be sinning. I said, is that what Adam heard when he sinned? No, you know, people just, did Adam hear this when he sinned? No, he didn't. Praise God. I was teaching this in a meeting yesterday or 2 days ago, and I said, imagine you went to preach to someone, you share the gospel with him, and then the guy says, so are you going to make heaven? I say, well, by his grace, we are not sure. I'm also I just say, just go. Because you are preaching the gospel, you are not sure. So are you going to, you know, this thing, we renew this license every year. It can expire anytime, you know. It depends on, you don't know where it has expired. So you just hear God say, why are you driving with this? You are praying with an expired salvation. You know, come and renew it. You get it? So because the picture on your first salvation is when you were small. You are now old. You have baby now, so you have to change your... Are you following this? So he remains the savior of the body. In the same way, we're going to do some parallels now. It's the same way in the old covenant. You know, the Bible says the law was given by Moses. So he was in charge. You know, Moses had awesome privileges. He would just tell them, he said, if you do this, this will happen. It was awesome authority he had. John 1:17 says, the law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. Look at John 5. Are you learning something? John 5. Do not think that I will accuse you, verse 45, to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. It situates the law in Moses. Moses is referred to as a lawgiver. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10:1 says, all the fathers were baptized into Moses. So he had an office. He had a function. God told him to take his people from Egypt to Canaan. It was an office. And when he didn't, he gave it to Joshua. So it's an office. There are examples in scripture of men given such functions. You see Moses also. He's referred to as the servant of the Lord, the servant. Hebrews 3:2 and verse 5. Now go to Hebrews 3:1. So Jesus is presently your Savior. Say Jesus. How many believe here? How many believe? Believers? Let me see. Raise. Come on, raise. Raise it. High. Two hands, you know. I love to have a belief. Come on. So, who is your Savior?
Jesus.
Who is your Savior?
Jesus.
You know, Pastor cannot save you because Pastor also needs a Savior. Isn't that true? Pastor cannot save you. You know, there's some folks like that. They give an altar call. If you are here, you want to give your life to Christ. You know where they got that one from, but let's accept it means salvation. If you're here, you want to be saved. Maybe you come out, people now come. People have come out now, listen. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I pray for these ones as who? Accept them. Receive them. Say, as who are you? Who is the person? Who are? What is your role? Hallelujah. No man cometh to the Father but by me, just one person. What is your own role? Have mercy on them, O God. Wash their sins. Don't take it very far away from them, far from Lagos. Sanctify them. What role are you playing there? I say it like this. What we ask people to do when they come out is just to write their names down. Before they came out, where they were, as they heard the word. The Bible says faith came. Faith is by hearing. Praise God. They just come out so that we can follow them up. Praise God. So don't put too much emphasis on what you came to do outside. Ah, I cried though. Hey, that day. I can't forget that day. I cried. Buckets of water. No, you had actually been saved before you cried. Praise God. So those tears are just your emotional reaction. Because you have not been taught joy of salvation, you have to do cry of salvation. The Bible says when they preached Christ in Samaria, there was joy in the whole city. There was nobody in the four God, in the Acts of the Apostles was crying as salvation. And when the God said, they were all crying. Oh my God. I shall be poor. I'm doing so much. Oh God. I can't believe I can be saved. Shut them out. Proud person. Are you still there? All right, look at this. Hebrews 3:1. Are you learning something? Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, our confession, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. The word apostle is used just once. Apostle means someone who was sent. Who was sent? So, but I wonder, well, what means sent? Some say, well, Jesus is an apostle. He is sent. I've heard some folks teach this. Like they said, when you confess God's word, Jesus is now sent. He takes that confession and he now goes to the Father. I don't know where people get this kind of stuff from. When you see a word used in a letter, I told you, you stay with the letter, right? And see how it is used. Now, when it says Jesus was sent, an apostle, you just need to read on and know what he was talking about. Now, there are different things Jesus was called in the book of Hebrews. He's called the Son, Hebrews 1:2, which is the primary term used for him, the Son. God has spoken to us in the Son. He's called an apostle once. He's called, there are two things that he's called more than any other thing. He's called high priest. And he's also called sacrifice or the sacrifice. Now, high priest or priest, just one about the same. So pay attention to those details because we're coming there. When he said he was sent an apostle, that word is much of a verb than a noun. The one sent. Because if I was going to translate this in today's language, I'll say consider the one sent. All right? The one sent, that is, will be Kai. Remember that? All right. Consider the one sent, that is high priest. So, he's referring to his high priest work. Is that very clear? You see that now. Look at it. Hebrews 4:14, we'll come to that soon. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, what happened to him? That is passed into the heaven. That he goes into heaven. Sent. It goes. Hebrews 6:20. Verse 19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Hebrews 6:19. Both sure and steadfast. And which enters into that within the veil. Let's take 20 together. Hebrews 6:20. Can we go? Whither the forerunner is for us entered. Even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's gone. The word forerunner here is the word prodromos.
PRODROMOS. Prodromos means to go before others for their sake. That is to go before others for their sake. A forerunner is somebody who goes to, is a founder for you. We say, well, the founder of this club. I was talking to a Chelsea fan the other day. I said, when was your club founded? He didn't know it. Because most of them, I know when they joined. I said, my club is the only club in the history of English football that has never left the Premiership since 1919. How about that? How about that? So, I guess it's over his face, I go on blue. No problem. So, he's called, now the word Ipris is used 123 times in New Testament Greek, 123 times. Pay good attention, this is very vital, a very vital fact. 123 times, here's the word Acherios. I'll spell it for you. A-R-C-H-E-R-E-U-S. A-R-C-H-E-R-E-U-S. 123 times. 123 times. In the four Gospels, it is used 84 times, and none for Jesus. 84 times, and none for Jesus. Four Gospels, 84 times, and none for Jesus. In Acts of the Apostles, it's used 22 times, and none for Jesus. 22 times, and not one for Jesus. 22 times, and not one for Jesus. In Hebrews, is the only epistle, save a reference in the book of Revelation, is the only epistle where it is used and used for Jesus. Paul doesn't use it at all. Peter doesn't use it at all. And the reason why it is used in Hebrews is because it's a comparison, an explanation from a type and a shadow. Paul doesn't use it at all. Already shows you that the book of Hebrews had the Jewish believer in mind. Paul doesn't use it at all. Peter doesn't use it at all. John doesn't use it. So 123 times, 84 in the four Gospels used for the high priest of the Lord. Not once for Jesus. Are you still there? Are you there? Alright, so look at this. Hebrews 5 and 1. In the book of Hebrews, 17 times, primarily was used for Jesus. If it's used for the apostles of the old covenant, it is to explain the role of Jesus. To do comparison. For example, Hebrews 5:1. Hebrews 5:1 says, for every high priest takes from among men is ordained of men. Talking about the high priest of the Old Testament. Hebrews 5:1. Hebrews 7:27. Hebrews 7:27. High priest. Old Testament high priest. Hebrews 7:28. Reference. Old Testament high priest. Hebrews 8:3. Hebrews 7:27, 28 then. Hebrews 8:3, reference Old Testament high priest. Hebrews 9:25, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of others. Hebrews 9:25. Now, wait for this. This is very right. The high priesthood of Jesus is a post-resurrection office. He wasn't called high priest before he died. Neither is his death called the high priesthood. His burial isn't called the high priesthood of Jesus. It's in his resurrection that he is referred to as the high priest. Hebrews 5:5. Hebrews 5:5. Somebody following this? Are you following this? Watch this now. And no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron, Old Testament. Let's take five together. Hebrews 5:5. So also, everybody, let's go, come on. So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said, it has said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He said in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let me ask you now. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Incarnation or resurrection? You already know that. That's resurrection. So he became high priest, had the resurrection. Hebrews 4:14. It's not difficult to know. Hebrews 4:14. Let's take it together. Seeing then that we have a high priest that is past where? So his high priesthood was when he went to heaven. Okay? Very good.
after the order of Melchizedek, which is a prophecy in Psalm 110. Run there quickly. Psalm 110. Verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies your footstool. That's the most quoted, arguably, with Isaiah 53. But the most quoted Old Testament text. The Lord, verse 4, has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Paul stayed with verse 1. The writer of Hebrews stayed with verse 4. Are you there? Are you following that? That's for Bible students, you know that. Now, Paul, John, Peter, they stayed with verse 1. The writer of Hebrews stayed with verse 4. Now look at Hebrews 5 again, verse 6. Sorry, verse 10. So he said, thou art forever after the order of Melchizedek. Repeat it again, Hebrews 5:10. Hebrews 6:20, order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:17, order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:21, order of Melchizedek. Why did he say that? Why does he call him after the order of Melchizedek? You see it in a moment. What do priests do? Priests offer sacrifice on behalf of others. Is the word hierus, H-E-I-R-U-S. H-E-R-I-R-E-U-S, pardon me. They offer on behalf of others. Use 31 times. In the four Gospels, again, the word priest used 11 times. In the book of Acts, 3 times, making 14. In the book of Hebrews, 14 times. So, both in Acts and the four Gospels never referred to Jesus. The book of Hebrews, 14 times. That's priest, not high priest, now priest. Revelation 3 times. Now, look at Hebrews 9:6. The priest went into the first tabernacle, referring to the Old Testament, Hebrews 9:6. Hebrews 10:11. Every priest stands daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. So the function of priest was to offer sacrifices. Hebrews 7:2. Hebrews 7:20, I think. Yep. Hebrews 7:20. Hebrews 7:23. Hebrews 7:15. I'm reading backwards. Hebrews 7:23. Hebrews 7:15. Then Hebrews 7:11. Then Hebrews 7:1. Melchizedek. Why is he called Melchizedek? So watch this. This is key. So the office of a priest or high priest is an office, is a function, is an office. Their function primarily is to bring a sacrifice on behalf of sinners, on behalf of people. They act for others. That's what priests do. But something strange about this is this. They act for people. That's a priest. To know the imperfection of the law, Hebrews 5 now points something out for us. It says they are chosen that they may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant, on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is what? Compassed with infirmity. So he doesn't just offer for people. Verse 3 says, hey, he also offers for himself. So that means that office cannot save, because the high priest needs a high priest. Still out there? The high priest needs a high priest. The priest of the Old Testament needs a high priest, since he also is offering a sacrifice on behalf of himself. That's Levi. One other thing this is, Hebrews 7:21. They were chosen as priests without an oath, but God swore concerning Jesus. Hebrews 7:21. He gave a promise concerning Jesus. Hebrews 7:21. Hebrews 7:27. The priest of the Old Testament, the high priest, will offer up sacrifice first for his own sins. Can you imagine? He puts himself first. First for his own sins, and then for the people. For did he did once when he offered up himself. Talking about Jesus the second time now. Hebrews 9:7. And to the second when the high priest alone, once every year. So three things. Number one, the high priest is imperfect of the Old Testament. Number two, he offers sacrifice for his own sins. Number three, he does it once every year. It's walking never. He keeps offering the sacrifices for the errors of himself and then the people. Hebrews 9:7. Himself and the people. Did you notice that Moses never, ever, look at what Moses said, Hebrews 9:19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to the law, to the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water, and scarlet and wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Moses never sprinkled himself. He never did. Moses knew that whatever they were doing wasn't perfect. He never sprinkled things on himself. Never did. So, what else about this priesthood? Hebrews 10:11. Every priest stands daily, ministering, and oftentimes the same sacrifices. What happened to them? Which can never take away sins. So, they can never take away sins. So, you can see that there was a relative importance of the person occupying the office. They are doing daily. One more thing about them, we'll see that before we close. Hebrews 4:14 now talks about Jesus. He said, we have a great high priest that is passed to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Hebrews 4:14. He's passed into the heavens. Hebrews 7:27. Pay attention to this now. Look at this in detail. It says, for such an high priest became us, verse 26, who is what? I'll wait for you. Hebrews 7:26. Are you there? Let's see it together. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, blameless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Let's take 27 together. Who needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for his people? For this he did what? Once, when he offered up himself. He didn't offer any sacrifice. He offered up himself. So, both the priestly duties and the offering are in one person. Listening? Are you listening now? He didn't take anything. He took himself. But the priestly duties and the priestly sacrifice were done with one person. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So this high priest is a sacrifice. Okay? Hebrews 9:26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by what? By what? The sacrifice of himself. He was once offered to bear sins for many. Hebrews 9:26-28. Go to Hebrews 10. So, he is not just offering something on our behalf. He offered himself. He is a sacrifice. He is the high priest. Hebrews 10. Now, the narration from Hebrews 10:1 is to let you know that whatever they did under the old covenant could never have taken away sins. He repeats the word, can never take away sins, over and over again. Then in verse 10, by the which will, are you there? By the which will, are you there? We are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ. How many times? Once. Just once. Praise God. Just once. So, just like Psalm 110 verse 1 is a post-resurrection fact about Jesus. The Lord said to me, seat at my right hand. as he said that about him, he said, because you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now watch for this. This is vital. Melchizedek is described in Hebrews 7:3, made like unto the Son of God. Not that the Son of God is made like unto him. Mm-mm. He is a figurative expression of the priesthood of Jesus. How? He says in verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. In other words, watch this. The reason why Jesus is referred to in this manner is because, wait, he is a priest continually. That is, his work does not stop, even though he's offering his wants. Pay attention, this is very vital. Don't lose this. He says he's like unto the Son of God. He abides forever. His office is done by him seated. The priest of the Old Testament will stand to offer. Jesus is described as a priest who came in and sat down. He sat down. In Hebrews 1:3, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3. In Hebrews 10:12, he sat down. Hebrews 8:1, he sat down. Hebrews 12:2, he sat down. And Paul says, looking unto that Jesus who he seated now. So go to Hebrews 10. What exactly is the issue? Hebrews 10, verse 11. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. Can we take verse 12 together? Everybody, I'll wait for you. But what? This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins for how many times? Forever. What does he do now? Sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting his enemies to let be made his footstool to be made his footstool. 14. For by one offering, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. So now, what's the point? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That means when he rose from the dead, he became qualified to be our high priest. So he goes to heaven. He goes to heaven, not to carry a bowl of blood. That would just be like the Old Testament priest. He goes to heaven himself. So where is his blood? Blood there was offered. Now watch this. Blood was offered there because that animal, I told you last week, remember that we did about Leviticus 16, remember that? The goat that is alive and the one that is slaughtered. But because the goat cannot be alive and be slaughtered, they have to use two. Now, Jesus is the same one who died, okay? Then he goes to heaven alive. So, those two goats speak of two things. Is death, burial, and resurrection. So, he goes alive. He goes alive as the high priest. Because the high priest must do it alive. He goes alive as the high priest. He doesn't go dead, he goes alive. So he goes alive as the high priest and he offers a sacrifice that can take away sins forever. That is himself. Wait for this. Wait for this. That is, he is the sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, a living one. A living one. So, he enters into heaven alive. And Hebrews 5 and 9 says, Hebrews 5 and 9, having been made perfect, he became the author of what? Eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Not all the people in the world. Right? Unto all that believe him. So he became the author of what? Huh? So what did we receive from Jesus? What does he offer? For the whole world of those who believe. So he offers what? Eternal salvation. Why is that salvation eternal? Because he abides continually. He abides forever. He stays there forever. The priests of the old covenant will go and come. And then they will even die and replace themselves. He is irreplaceable.
Hallelujah. He is unchangeable. He remains alive forevermore. Are you still out there? Are you still out there? So he became the author of eternal salvation. That means he became responsible for eternal salvation. He's the one that makes the salvation eternal. Not the recipient. He is. He does. He makes the salvation eternal. Still out there? Are you still out there? Hebrews 7:25 will make sense in a moment. Hebrews 7:25. Here's the high priest of the whole covenant. He's going to the temple. He carries, let's assume this is the blood. He first of all washes himself with the blood. You know, I'm a sinner, so in case he doesn't go in there and die. So he goes. Puts the blood. Then he goes out. Then 1 year, they come back again. Takes the blood. Puts it in there. Blood will dry up, I think the blood will dry up. Will the blood dry up? Yeah, stone user. Never forever. Jesus is alive. Praise God. He's alive. He doesn't carry a bowl. He goes into the holiest of all, heaven itself. Then he turns around. Then he sits down. Praise God. He sits down forever. Hallelujah. So whatever he does, whoever he is eternal. Something that never changes. Look at the Old Testament guys. Hebrews 7. The Bible says, in verse 22, for by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, praise God, what happens to him? Because he continues how? Forever. Has an unchangeable priesthood. He continues what? He continues to offer, or he continues to sit? Praise God. He continues to sit. He's there. Now, what does he continue to seek for? Let's say 25 for together. Let's go. Come on. Wherefore? Oh, hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Wherefore he is? Now, is able how? Is able seated? Glory to God. Is able on his seat? Is able seated? Right? To what? Save them. Woo! Hallelujah. So the salvation became available when he sat down. He's able to save them to what? What does it mean? Now wait. The word he remains. It says he continues forever in 24. Is the word meno. A place where you stay permanently. He says he's unchangeable. Unchangeable is another Greek word. It means it cannot be violated. Haparabatos in the Greek. Haparabatos. It means he cannot be violated. Something that is permanent. You can review this. It cannot be changed. It can be reviewed. This function doesn't change. He says he's able to save. Oh, come on. What's the word save one more time? Oh, you got it. Come on, guys. What's the word save again? So the sota, what does he do? He's able to prevent from the danger of sins or the punishment for sins. Is able to prevent from the danger or punishment of sins them to what? To what? The uttermost. Uttermost is a wonderful Greek word. It means, it's taken from, you know, let me give you the meaning now. Here's the word parateletis. Don't worry about that. You know, you have telio. What's telio? Telio means to get to the end. Right? That is to get to the end. So, he's saying, is able to save to what point? No, telio is used a lot of times in the book of Hebrews. Perfect, perfect, perfect. So, he's able to save perfectly. He's able to save to the end. That come unto God by who? By him. Hallelujah.
How many came to God by him? Come on, how many came to God by him? So, he's able to do what to you? No. What's save? Prevent me from the danger and judgment of sins till the very end. Praise God. Why? Seeing that if forever, hallelujah, he forever, you get it? He forever seeks alive to what? To make intercession for them. Hallelujah. So it takes care of not just your past, not just your present, but even your unforeseen future. Hallelujah. That means from the point that you got saved, you took responsibility for your life. Your unbelief, your doubts, your failures, whatever you're going to do. Hey, you got someone who's sitting for you. Hallelujah. Come on, I thought you heard that. Glory to God. He forever lives. Glory to God. He forever lives to make intercession. What's the word intercession? Now, notice this. He says he make intercession. The word intercession. That means he's working on our behalf. He's alive for us. Hallelujah. His life is intercession. The word intercession means to intervene. It's the same word, intervene, to prevent from punishment. He stands in. Hallelujah. So he didn't just stand here at the cross and stand here at the grave. He also stands right now at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. You know, we have different members in the body. You keep preaching. You keep growing spiritually. You can fail once in a while. You can be weak. Paul says some are weak, some are strong. You can be like this. But there is someone who takes care of all of us. Hallelujah. So, whilst we are doing our part, he's doing his own part. Praise God. While we're growing, sometimes we're not growing, sometimes we're faithful, sometimes we're not faithful. His own office is that he's a faithful one. Praise God. He keeps his own part of the whole show. He is doing his own job. Hallelujah. He's ensuring, by being alive forevermore, he's ensuring that no one who receives the gospel ever is punished for sins. Hallelujah. You get that? That is why he is our present tense Savior. So when you talk about salvation, look at the person. Salvation is in a man. The man at the right hand of God. Salvation is not in your works. Salvation is not in your prayer, your perfect work or your imperfect work. Salvation is in the perfect Savior. I like how someone says it. He says, Christians are not people that do perfect things. They are people that have a perfect Savior. Hallelujah. He does it perfectly. How close here? And does it to the very end. He said, he forever lives. Hallelujah. To make intercession for us. So, see Romans 8 quickly. This is our purpose in Romans 8. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Romans 8. Now, does he intercede for the world? Nope. He intercedes for those who believe the gospel. Is that okay? He stands on their behalf. So, a Christian can do something wrong. Non-believer does something wrong. And you say, but is God not partial? No, he is not. He's not been partial. He's actually very impartial. The fellow, the Christian, has taken Jesus as his own intercessor. The unbeliever has said no. So, he will be responsible for what he does. The believer has put the responsibility in his soter. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? In his soter. He becomes, he's our high priest. Romans 8, are you there? What shall we say then, verse 31, to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered more for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us of all things? Look at the things he freely gave us. Freely gave for me, you will do nothing for this to happen. You don't have to pray about it. Oh, Jesus, intervene for me. No. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Let's take 34 together. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yet rather, you know, some folks I was in a meeting, they said, this is how they read it. Who can lay anything to the child of God's elect?
It is God.
How about that? Who is he that condemns?
It is Christ.
Hallelujah. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather has risen again. Glory to God. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also makes intercession for us? Hallelujah. For the whole world? No. Those who believe the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Watch this now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Look at 37. Nay, in all those things we are more than conquerors through him. Notice, through him that has loved us. I am persuaded. Oh, glory. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That is, just imagine anything. Nor height, nor depths, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you still there? That means nothing can change that ministry. It is freely given. Hallelujah. Whether you recognize it or not, whether you think about it or not, whether you are taught in your church or not, there's a present tense intercession for you. Hallelujah. In the office of your soul, he's the savior of the body. He presented to himself for himself. Glory to God. Let nothing cross your mind about what will happen to you. Nothing will happen to you because you have a soter. You have a savior. Your salvation is in someone. Glory to God. Past, present, future, and forevermore. He forever lives with us. This is salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's how Paul will say, that I'd not be found with my own righteousness. I'm not found with my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When we stand before God, we will not stand with ourselves. We will stand in Christ. We will stand as men and women that Jesus Christ is alive for. He's alive for you. Glory to God. You know, that means he didn't go back and sat down at the right hand of God marking scripts. See your life. See your life. He's seated there for you. Hallelujah. That means he didn't just go to heaven, then he died, then he went to rest and take his holiday. He sat down there to guarantee his work forever. But see, I'm going to guarantee this thing will not fail. Hallelujah. For individuals. So it's an eternal salvation. Why is it eternal? Because it's an eternal Savior. Glory to God. Aren't you glad this morning? Lift your hands and just worship Jesus. Come on, let's just worship Jesus. He's worthy of our praise. Lift your hands.